following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Terry Bradshaw. I've won a lot of games by 1 point, so I know the value of an extra point. My friends at Ferguson are fond of extra points, too. Ferguson's been the leader for plumbing and HVAC supply since 1953, so you always get what you need fast.
Touchdown!
And now when pros order online with Ferguson, you'll get Pro Plus Rewards points. Use these points to get stuff like sports gear, gadgets, and more. Check out Pro Plus at Ferguson.com and tell them Terry sent you.
If Wells Fargo is giving their customers a free credit score, it's definitely worth looking into.
As part of our limited time promotion, we're also giving customers a complimentary credit report. We can talk about ways your credit score affects your ability to borrow and the interest rates you'll pay.
I like that.
Stop into Wells Fargo from now until November 15, 2012, and ask a banker about how to get your personal access code to obtain a free credit score and complimentary credit report. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. See a banker for specific promotion details.
From the great Atlantic Ocean to the wide Pacific shore, from the Sooners to the Tigers to the Buffaloes next door, we'll fight them all with honor, stand tall above the rest. The Huskers of Nebraska are the ones that we love best. See that line of blockade, watch those backs move out. Heading for the goal line and a touchdown, there's no doubt. Fast as a mighty jet plane, smooth as a brand new car. Every player with the big red is a football superstar.
That was a joke.
Backfield now. Cousins awaits the shotgun snap. He has it. Holds. Over the middle. Pass is intercepted. Lance Sorrell. 45. 40. Lance Sorrell to the outside. 30-yard line. Knocked out of bounds. Lance Sorrell. Brett's kick sailing towards the uprights, and the kick is good. And Maher drills one from 51 yards out.
This is a 29-yard field goal attempt to win the game for Nebraska. And what would be a miraculous comeback in the final 40 seconds. Brown for the win. The kick is
is our score. Kickoff into the end zone will be brought out by Abdullah. Abdullah, a little bit of shake and bake. With room to run! What kind of speed do you have, young guy? Down the right sideline! He's got a chance! Yes! Touchdown, Nebraska!
Third down and 20. Quinn, good protection, pass to the sideline. Good. Out of bounds at the 25. Todd Brown made the catch, and Quinn hit him right on the numbers.
Fake the handoff. Back to throws. Martinez looking downfield. Has a man out there. Pass caught. Touchdown. Quincy and Unwa. And the Huskers back to it in a score.
Big down. Third to long five. Heading to the end zone, and very close to it was Dean Steinkoder. He's in for a touchdown.
Stretch play to Bell trying to get to the outside. Compton hits him and drops him to the 10. What a play by Will Compton.
Backfield in the eye, wide outs both ways, and here is a fake. Druckenmiller on the keeper, loses the football. It's picked up by the Huskers, and they're going to run it in. Jason Peter for the score!
Snap back to Taylor. Fakes the handoff, looking to throw. Guns, pass, caught. Cotton, 15, 10. Bam to the 5. Dives for the end zone. He's down at the 1 yard line. Ben Cotton.
And the pitch to Warner. And Warner gets it up about the 29. Jimmy Williams comes up with a football, and Nebraska got it. Jimmy Williams came out of the stack with a football.
Back to throw is Cousins, holding, looking, going downfield, looking for Cunningham. He goes up, ball knocked away at the last second. Stafford was there, so was Ciante Evans.
We are ready to settle the Big 12 football championship deep in the heart of Texas. Major Applewhite back in the pocket. Eludes one. Husker is in trouble, and down he goes. Warren Kaiser was there.
And the Cornhuskers will go for two. They trail 17-15. Full house backfield. Frazier will throw. It's good. Two-point conversion. Eric Alford made the catch. Game tied at 17.
Fumble picked up on the bounce by
in the shotgun. Burkhead off to his right. Snap back to Tater. Holds it. Looks. Throws. Pass. Caught. Kenny Bell. Dive. Touchdown.
Sal Jones, the lone setback from the 47 of CU. Frazier takes the snap. Gives it on a counter play. Jones runs behind a blocker. 45, 40, 35, 30, 25, 15. He's gone. Touchdown.
How about the biggest comeback in school?
Far side, back to throw is Martinez. Now being chased, throws it out. A flat. Burkhead makes a catch. Sets a tackle. 25-20, 15-10, 5. Rex Burkhead. Touchdown, Nebraska. And the Huskers are to within a point.
Holy moly. Man, woman, and child did that. Put him in the aisle.
Fourth down and 8. The ball at the 24-yard line of Miami. But they're down by 7.
Now Wildcat set. Burkhead awaits the snap. On 2nd and 10, Marlowe in motion. They give it off to Marlowe off the jet motion. On 35, Marlowe to the 30, 25-20, 15-10. Tim Marlowe knocked out of bounds inside the 5-yard line at the 1-yard line. Tim Marlowe takes the handoff for 39 yards.
Option play, the pitch to Irving Fryer around the right side. Irving Fryer could be gone. Irving Fryer, touchdown.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Danny Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. I think we're going to have another great show today. Jim Langan in as co-host. He was running up and down the field on the field. I was in the press box last night for some of the high school football playoffs. And coming up on the show today, Mark Snyder, Detroit Free Press, is going to join us before he hops on his plane to head to Nebraska and fly in for tomorrow night's game. We'll talk the Huskers, we'll talk a little bit about the Lions, the World Series, of course, with the Tigers falling behind. It's a busy time out there in Detroit. We'll also talk with Doug Glanville, ESPN analyst and former Cub. Oh, poor guy. Poor Doug Glanville. 9 seasons with the Cubs, but he's an Ivy Leaguer. He's a smart guy. He's starting his own website up. He's got some books out there. He's an award-winning author, and we're going to talk to him about what's going on there and talk a little baseball as well. Plus, what is now becoming out of control on Friday, and that's Pigskin Pick'em. You get the Big Deli's. That's all we're giving out right now, Jimmy. We're just giving out the large combo meal because nobody can beat us and nobody can get the 100, and now it's going to be $160 of Cunningham's gift cards.
It's amazing. $160. Be nice to have that.
And good job by you guys last week to carry the torch while I was out at cross country.
Yeah, you know, that was a nice week for us. You know, I think the guy that called him went 4-7 or something like that. So, we got to have somebody compete on the show a little bit better.
I think, yeah, we talk about that. It's not like we're dominating. We had a couple of nice weeks out there. But it's not like somebody has went 9-2, 8-2 against us and we've clipped them out at the wire. We're looking for somebody to knock one out, to take one to the house here this weekend. You get one shot. Trent wants to get in again. Trent, you went 4-7. I wouldn't let you in again if you got to have multiple chances. You went 4-7. You're done. You're done.
Doug, you had 2 really good weeks during this stretch. You went 8-2 twice, and I mean that would have been like in the 90th percentile. And I had 1 really good week where I had a pretty good tiebreaker.
Yeah.
You know, and that then that beat a guy that I think he went like 8-2, and I went 8-2, but we got him on the tiebreaker. But other than that, it hasn't really been close.
And there's some crazy games out there. For as much hype as being put on Notre Dame, Oklahoma, Notre Dame is like a 10-point underdog in this game, Jimmy. I want to know this. We're going to know who's for real here. This really is going to open up a lot of eyes, because if Oklahoma does win this football game, then that validates Kansas State and it does some things in other people's eyes, I think. Or will they just say, Notre Dame wasn't really that good anyway?
You know, I think the point spread's really based on a lot of times on what's happened last week or the last 2 weeks for sure. It's not any further than that. Now, Vegas is smart, and if they look at the whole season, They look at 6 games. You know, they remember that Oklahoma struggled with Texas, El Paso. You know, they kind of have that a little bit. But the last 2 weeks, you know, Oklahoma has really rolled, and Notre Dame beat Stanford in a controversial overtime call, and then Notre Dame beat a BYU team that has trouble scoring. You know what I mean? They've had a lot of games where they haven't put many points on the board. In fact, you know, BYU got beat by Oregon State when Oregon State's quarterback was out. You know, and I think they're based, and that's why the point spread's as high as it is. It's based on those last 2 weeks. I'm not saying Oklahoma's not going to drill them. Here they could. but that's why the point spread is so high.
That'll be one of the games we pick today. Always, your thoughts, Facebook us, email us, call us. Let's give you the Facebook. It's Central Nebraska's ESPN Superstation. All you got to do is like us once, and we pop you up there. The games that we're carrying, the guests that are on the show, recap, podcast, all that kind of information. You can email the Dent Popper inbox, Dent Popper, home of the armor lining, Doug and Daddy. Spell out the word and, Doug and Daddy. At ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. And the phone number is always 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Glad to have you along with us here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Going to get to high school football here in this first segment because we saw some good games, but there was so much going on yesterday. I am surprised, and I will take it to the next level, almost to the shocked level, of the way Detroit's offense has struggled here in the first two games of the World Series. I still don't put anything into it that they had the layoff for more than a day, and it's affecting them. I still have plenty of faith in the Detroit Tigers going home against San Francisco. The Giants have put the pressure on. All Detroit wants is a split. All San Francisco wants is not to have a split. So San Francisco wins that part of it, and there's nothing to say that Detroit can't win all three at home, which is kind of what they're going to have to do, and then hope for a split going back out to San Francisco. But even if they can go get this series back to San Francisco, they've got a chance. That means they've at least won two games at home.
You know, Detroit did not score really many runs, I think, when they played the Yankees. Yeah. Now, the Yankees just scored, you know, none, you know.
Even lesser.
Yeah, right. And, you know, you made a good point, though. I think the last game, Detroit did score quite a few runs against the Yankees. But last night, you know, Cecil Fielder's on. No, not set. Yeah, first base. And Fielder Prince, you know, he's on first base. And
that's why he didn't score.
Maybe, well, Cecil was
really
out there.
Slow,
yeah. I wonder what Grandpa looked like, you know. But anyway, yeah. But he's on first base, you know, and they tried to score him in the second inning. They threw him out on a plate on a very close call, but he was out. But, you know, you don't want to make that first out at home. But, you know, again, if you got runners at second and third, he's still on third, you know, and it's going to get, how do you score him? And a long fly ball is going to be really long, you know what I mean, or a sacrifice. I mean, of course, a clean single, but, you know, in hindsight, that was a big play in that game.
Yeah, there was a couple. When you have so few scoring opportunities, they break down little things like that. Hey, it happened. He sent him. He's out by a freckle. I mean, it took a perfect throw to throw him out. So, you know, probably by the book of baseball, they should have stopped him at third. But as Leland said, the manager, he goes, we were talking about being more aggressive. And so he sent him, and that was being more aggressive. Also, a little shocker last night, my Minnesota Viking fans out there have to be worried because they see the schedule ahead of them. They're off to such a great start. The Thursday night home teams have been dominating this year. In fact, Thursday, the home team has won every year or every week. That was a Wednesday game when Dallas played the Giants on opening night, but that was the only road team that had won until last night. And Tampa Bay came out and really dominated this football game with a couple of youngsters, Josh Freeman and Doug Martin.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of interesting. I think Vegas had that. They started that thing at 5. You know, Tampa Bay just getting 5 points. That kind of made them think that, you know, hey, yeah, that they're going to get a lot of action on Minnesota. When I saw that, I thought, hey, maybe that's a good game. And, you know, sometimes you just don't match up real well. And, you know, all the Tampa Bay running back, I can't think of his name.
Doug Martin. Yeah,
you got it. You know, he had a great game. Unbelievable game. And, you know, that was like one of the top games of all time. You know what I mean? So, that had a lot to do with that. And they really dominated the game.
He sets the bar high there. And then let's go to the Dent Popper inbox because John has chimed in. He says, okay, have to say that this is a huge bonehead move in college football. LSU and the so-called Honey Badger are really stupid. To put drugs in front of you playing Division I college football, dumb, dumb, dumb. Do you have any idea what you are, I'll paraphrase here, dribbling down your leg? People would die to be where you were, and all you can do is think of yourself. All I can say is what a bunch of losers. Last night, and Honey Badger and all kinds of problems, the rehab stint, the rumors, everything that he's been going through. Well, last night, he, former quarterback at LSU, Jordan Jefferson, defensive backs Derek Bryant, Carnell Hatcher, well, cops found a little marijuana at Matthew's apartment, and trouble there. Baton Rouge police arresting those four, and that pretty much should do it for the Honey Badger. Unfortunately, I'm guessing the next time you hear from him is the next time that he's arrested. Because how many times do you have to watch these 30 for 30 episodes, or you know, you don't hear about Ryan Leaf forever, and then all of a sudden he's trying to hack prescription painkillers in Montana, and it's just a bad deal. But, I mean, let's face it, that's the way it is in society. He's done playing football. That's it, at LSU anyway.
Yeah, I would think so. You know, I mean, it's too bad when that does happen. There's a lot of athletes, and there's just a lot of people in the world that make some bad choices. You know what I mean? And then, hey, sometimes when you have that first bad choice and things aren't going well, it's easy to make that second bad choice, you know. So that's too bad. I feel bad for him.
Let's take a break here on the Doug and Danny Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan, Doug Glanville, ESPN baseball analyst and former Chicago Cub, will join us. Then Mark Snyder, the Detroit Free Press. And then we wrap it up with Pigskin Pick'em, plus some high school football talk, obviously, after this.
Geico says, let's make life simpler.
Look, I'm all for modern conveniences. But ask yourself, do you really need a blender with 23 buttons just to chop an onion? At Geico, we think life should be simpler. So we make it super simple to save on car insurance. Just one click and you could be on your way to saving hundreds. Come on, people. Life doesn't have to be that complicated.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Introducing a simple, smart way to save on your energy bill. The Nest Learning Thermostat, now available at Lowe's. Did you forget to turn down the thermostat before you left this morning? No problem. With Nest, you can adjust the temperature right from your smartphone. Every time you change the temp, Nest learns. Give it a week and it'll program itself. Nest will even start turning itself down when you're gone. It's pretty neat considering heating and cooling make up about half of your energy bill. Come into Lowe's and get yours today. Lowe's, never...
The Canyon Family Y is taking team registration for adult indoor soccer and basketball leagues. The cost per team is $125, but register early and receive a team discount. Games begins in late October, so hurry and get your team registered. For more info on the YMCA Adult Sports League, call 308-237-9622 or visit canyonymca.org.
El Canyon YMCA está ofreciendo ligas de fútbol rápido y basketball para adultos. El costo es $125 por equipo. Para más información, llame a 308-237-9622.
Saturday on Compass Media Network's coverage of NCAA football, it's one of the Big Ten's fiercest rivalries renewed as Michigan State takes on Wisconsin. Hi, I'm Drew Bonadelli. Join Tony Hill and me for all the action as Le'Veon Bell and the Spartans invade Camp Randall to take on Monte Ball and the Badgers. Wisconsin, Michigan State. If it's NCAA football, it's right here.
Michigan State, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, Saturday at 2:30 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
We'll see considerable cloud cover across the area through the day today with a high temperature in the lower 40s. Winds will also stay to the northwest from 5 to 15. Tonight, we'll drop back to 22 for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 32.
Back in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, Doug and Danny Show, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac. Go out and see the gang this weekend. If you need a new or pre-owned vehicle, they are there for you. Maybe you just need a little work done. The parts department at Midway maintains a comprehensive inventory of high-quality, genuine OEM parts. Their highly knowledgeable staff is there to answer your parts inquiries, and should they not carry a part for which you're searching, they can order it for you and receive it in a timely manner. Take care of the vehicle that is taking care of you. And even if you haven't bought it at Midway, maybe you're new to the area, maybe you don't know the folks at Midway, let's get that relationship going. Let's get you acquainted with the great sales staff, with the great maintenance department, parts department at Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, both located on South 2nd Avenue. If you're looking for a new truck, Chevy Silverados all over the place, 9,000 plus off of what you're probably going to see. You're going to save all that money. Check it out. Chevy Silverado gets you going for the wintertime at the Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Doug and Danny Show with Doug Duda, Jim Langan on this Friday. Coming up
In our next segment, we'll talk with Mark Snyder of the Detroit Free Press as Michigan rolls into Lincoln to take on the Huskers tomorrow. We'll also touch a little bit on Detroit Lions football and, of course, why their Tigers are down 2-0. But let's find out a little bit more, Jimmy. Let's welcome to the show for the first time, and we are pleased to welcome in Doug Glanville, who played for the Cubs. Of course, we all know him from that time, and, of course, his analyst for ESPN and Major League Baseball. And, of course, now we're going to talk a little bit as well about a new website. Maybe you've seen some of his books out there. And, Doug, welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Well, I like to say we changed the name just for you, but it's really been Doug and Daddy for the whole time.
So Doug and Daddy, or Doug Squared Daddy.
Yeah, we can get you in if things, you know, yeah. if we need to do that. But before we get into the new website and all of that, your thoughts on where we're at with the World Series right now? Detroit having trouble getting some runs in.
Well, they are. And I feel like that break was the worst thing that happened to Detroit. I mean, they were playing really well, came off a big win over the A's, walked right in and wiped the Yankees out, just looking like world beaters. And then you just sit. And I know as a player, when I sat for 3 days even, I felt like I had to revamp my swing. So that coupled with the fact that the Giants had gone the distance, you know, beat Cincinnati on the road, pulls out game seven against the Cardinals, they're just game ready. And I think Tigers are kind of catching up, and it might be a little too late.
You know what? Jim Leland, I thought, did a good job yesterday with his interview. He had a close play at the plate, you know, on Fielder at second base. I mean, when he came from first to try to score there in the second inning. And I just thought he did a good job after the game with the press conference, the way he handled it. Can you talk a little bit about Jim Leland for us?
Well, look, Leland, just so many years of experience. And what's been impressive about him is his ability to adapt to sort of the new generation. I mean, he was always an old-school guy, but he has a way of combining that now with the younger players respond to him. And, you know, he's had a team with a lot of guys that are coming into their own. You know, Jackson, Fielder, that's a big deal. Cabrera is still a young guy. And they, you know, they just have bought into his approach. And, you know, he does a great job of protecting his players. So, you know, no question that he's gotten better with age and figured out how to be competitive to this level late in his career.
Talking with Doug Glanville, ESPN baseball analyst here on the Doug and Daddy Show. How, in your eyes, does the pitching set up now in the next 2 and possibly 3 games? I'm hearing a lot of folks think it swings over to San Francisco.
Well, it does, because the worst nightmare for the Tigers is coming out game one, having Verlander on the mound against Zito, who's sort of been added as this number four guy, and bam, all of a sudden you lose that game. And then if you can't bounce back with Fister and don't get enough runs, now the Giants are sitting there having, you know, their aces sort of lined up pretty well. That's an uphill climb, and there's no question that the Tigers can rattle off, you know, four out of five or whatever they need to do. But it's a lot more difficult, and you know, no question the starting pitching for the Tigers have gotten them at this point, but their bullpen has really struggled.
Does Verlander start game four no matter what?
Well, they have to, you know, because worst-case scenario, even if you're down 3-0, he's your chance to turn it around. So you want to put him in the position that's sort of a pivot piece, and you don't want to sit there and like, well, let's wait until, because there may not be an until. And they have good enough starting pitching. It's certainly based on the last month of the season, plus how Scherzer and Fister's really come into their own, that they can win with those guys. There's no doubt they can. And, you know, if they have to add another arm in there just to sort of keep people fresh, you want to do that sooner rather than later so you can just get your aces in a row.
You know, all of the series this year have gone down to, you know, every game at the very end of it. And, you know, some people that had the advantage actually looked like had the disadvantage. But I'm with you. I think that he's got to pitch games 1, 4, and 7 if he can get there.
If he can get there. And you know, you could always be thrilled to just be at game 7 where you can make another adjustment. I mean, we saw Randy Johnson with the Diamondbacks come in, you know, out of the pen. So you can get ace MVP Cy Young candidates to figure out a way to contribute, you know, and most importantly, you're just trying to close it out as best you can.
You know, Leland didn't really say this, but he didn't say no or yes, which makes me think that he's really not that confident in his closer right now either. What's your feeling on that?
Valverde.
Well, he's not, there's certainly good reason, and it's not a matter of his ability from last year and his approach. He's had some mechanical issues. His velocity is not quite right. And that takes away from his bread and butter, which is high velocity, sinking action into right-handed hitters. So he can jam you even when you think you're on it. But he doesn't have that extra hop on his fastball. And he's leaving a lot of balls out over the plate. And, you know, that's a recipe for disaster.
Doug Glanville with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, ESPN baseball analyst and author. One more question about the World Series here. You touched on it. Where is Tim Lincecum going to be now? I mean, they've used him as a starter, and he's done a great job out of the bullpen. Where is he at in his career, staying with the Giants, staying as a starter? Your opinion on him?
Well, Tim Lincecum is very popular in San Francisco, and I'm sure they're going to try to figure out a way for him to stay there. Huge, you know, contract year. I mean, this is, I think, the second year of his two-year deal. Very expensive, so he's not going to be a setup man at $20 million or whatever it is a year. So I think it's a turning point for him, however, in that his role has proven lately to be great as a sort of long man. But, you know, starting is his bread and butter, and that's what he's paid to do. And so I'm pretty confident the Giants are going to have him back in the rotation. Even with his struggles, you know, look where they are. They're still in the driver's seat. So, but, you know, it's a make-or-break type of situation for him to reestablish himself back as that Cy Young starter that we saw early in his career.
Well, DougGlanville.com has launched. Folks, you can go out and check that website out. And, of course, you've done a lot of philanthropic things through the foundation, which I want you to touch on, that all stems from your father. The Cecil Glanville Scholarship Fund is out there. And you've really found a way to do the right thing and do some great things. And it didn't start after baseball. I mean, this has been going since coming out of the Ivy League. Touch on the foundation and kind of take us into how that has launched your new website.
Well, it's certainly a passion of mine. My father passed away 10 years ago, and we were very close, and he loved baseball. And he actually passed away the last game of the season, 162, in 2002. And that same day, I got my 1,000th hit of my career. So it was really a convergence of a lot of powerful things. And over time, you know, we thought about how we can honor his legacy and the scholarship fund. We started at the church where I grew up in New Jersey. And so we reward candidates who are sort of members of the church that are going on to college. And it's kind of opened up this whole world. And my way of connecting back to my dad has been really through writing. He loved writing, and I got this sort of voice of baseball, the human side of the game, that evolved and led to creating this body of work with the New York Times and Time and then ESPN. So I created this site to kind of house all this information and exciting things in this communication to the fans, to the supporters, to my family, really, to sort of save. And it's been wonderful. And so far, just working at ESPN has been a great treat just to have all these platforms to share the idea and bringing people together around the game that everybody, you know, we all love. So, you know, and the philanthropic side of it is just sort of a natural progression of my parents, who always emphasize that they were both educators at different times of their lives. And I just want to not only take that game, but also help improve our communities and just share the concerns of everybody as fans and family.
Plus, you're a writer, author. You've got the blog, The Daddy Games. What's giving you the most joy right now?
Well, I love writing. And most importantly, with ESPN, I've been able to write and create things for shows and beyond Baseball Tonight. And the joy has been to hear people say that, You're telling my story. These stories of players and the life in the game is really what I've been through in my life, whether I've picked up a bat or a ball or whether I even go to baseball games. I think that understanding that's been created by sharing really just an uninhibited look at a life in the game has brought a lot of joy to me, because it just creates why I feel this game is so great and how much in common we all have. And I think that's been the greatest reward of it.
Well, I tell you what, you could probably undertake one of the greatest adventures and win some kind of peace prize here if you could bring Cub fans together happily. When you're inside that organization and some teams there that were pretty darn good in your nine-year stretch with the Cubs, unlike anything else, you grew up a Philly fan, started retired with the Phillies, but how much different is it being with the Cubs than any other place in baseball?
Oh, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. And just the day games, I remember, certainly, I think they played more when I was coming through. that in and of itself is a new culture. It's almost like a 9-to-5. You get up, you kind of go in with everybody else, you get out, you have dinner in the city. That was always a great thing. But just the cathedral. I mean, my wife had never been to Wrigley Field until we were living there years ago. And I always explained it, and she was like, oh, yeah, that's cool. And then she showed up and walked out for the first time. She's like, okay, I get it. I get it. You know, it's just the intimacy and the power of that place and just, you know, the hope that you're like, if we can win it, you know that this is going to be like, you know, World's Fair 2012 type thing. I mean, they're itching for victory, and it's a great place to play.
Hey, Doug, I noticed that you had 293 consecutive games without an error. But I officiate here in the state of Nebraska, and I can't go a quarter without making an error. So, you know, I that just absolutely amazes me. Hey, another thing we have in common, I just wanted to mention, my dad also died 10 years ago on November 4th, and what you're doing I think is really cool.
Oh, I appreciate it. You lose someone so close, and you try to find ways to keep them close, and you have pictures and pendants and jewelry, and it's not quite the same until you find that one thing that kind of pops. And for me, it's just been writing. I really learned that he had this passion, and it sort of connected, and people have really rallied behind it, and I feel like it's sort of through his voice, and it's why I feel so, like, powerful in that I have to do this. You know, it's like, I got it. I feel very motivated to do it, and it's become such a great passion of mine. And I combine it with something that I've already had a life of passion in baseball. It's a great combo.
Keep it up.
Yeah, great stuff. Doug Glanville, ESPN analyst, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Last couple questions here for you, Doug. What's the next project? Are we working on another book?
We are. I'm kicking around I already have an outline. I'm working on a sample chapter. So my goal was to get the final proposal done by the end of the World Series. So we're not far away. And I'm trying to take a look. My first book was the Game From Where I Stand, which looked at the arc of a career. It was sort of like, here's your life in baseball, and here's what you experience from getting traded to having a baby to all these things. Now I'm trying to look at that next phase of your career where you finish up and you kind of reflect back on your life, sort of like where I am now, who when I was playing I was single, and now post-career I'm married, I have three kids, and I'm an ESPN analyst, and now I'm looking back differently. And one good example is working with guys like Oral Hershiser or guys who have been in the game that I played against. I've learned so much talking to these guys about things I didn't even know as a player. Because a lot of times hitters don't talk to pitchers. They don't really, center fielders don't really talk to shortstops about what they actually do. And I thought it would be cool to look at a book that has you reflect back on those things and really share their new perspective and new appreciation for the game and how you still love it.
Well, that pretty much answered what I had as my last question here. But give us a nugget, Doug. Get us on out of here with a nugget when the camera goes off with the ESPN crew. Give us a nugget. What's going on?
Oh, behind the scenes, research. I'll tell you, research and watching a lot of baseball, and the guys love it. We have a green room. You have total all these beautiful big screens, and you watch as many games as you can. And it's great to work with people that love the game. I feel like I just went from one clubhouse in Phillies to ESPN. It's a lot of fun, and people work hard. But we have great researchers, and it's everything they say. Dream job. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Well, Doug, we sure appreciate you giving us some time here on the Doug and Daddy Show on this Friday, and best of luck with the website, DougGlanville.com. Folks can find out about where you're speaking, about where they can find out more information about the books and the blogs, and keep up with going on with the foundation as well. Thanks so much for the time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Thanks, Doug.
Okay, appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Doug Glanville on this Friday. Good stuff. Good stuff. Great to have him on the program. All of our guests taken care of by our friends at BK, home of the Whopper. Hey, if you're not in the mood for a burger, how about a chicken sandwich or wrap? They're just as good. Throw in some sweet potato fries, the perfect salty, sweet, savory addition to any sandwich. Two locations in Kearney and Cozad, Lexington, and North Platte. It's good stuff. Good stuff. You got a feeling, Jimmy? Can Detroit come back? I mean, obviously the odds are in San Francisco's favor, but I still got a gut feeling Detroit's going to do this. I don't know why. I'm stupid. I get a lot of things wrong.
You know, it'll be interesting if we can get to 2-2. You know, I would think so. I don't think if they can get it. You know, if they're still down 3-1, I can't see it. You know what I mean? I'm being honest with you. I just don't see it if it gets to 3-1. So there, I think they got to get it to 2-2, and then I think they have the advantage.
I think it's so awesome that you have to, as Doug Glanville said, you can't mess with Verlander. You got to put him out there. But boy, can you imagine if you scratch out a win and it's 3-1, you put Verlander out there, it's 3-2, that place is rocking, and you got the momentum going back out to the West Coast. Or it's 2-2, and you put him out there in Game 5, and he pitches you a three-hitter and sends him home. We'll find out. It's going to be exciting stuff. Baseball, football, it's all great.
Giants, they had six games where they were had an elimination game. Is that correct? Six games?
Tying the
Kansas City Royals down to Toronto 3-1, and then the St. Louis Cardinals 3-1. I'm just glad that the umpires had nothing to do with that.
Exactly. A well umpired series. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mark Snyder, Detroit Free Press, Pigskin Pick'em, $160 on the line for one fortunate listener. It's all coming up.
Okay, Greeny, here's the situation. There's 2 minutes on the clock. You got to score a hotel room now. Run the play.
What? Goalie, did you play without a helmet?
Hey, I'm talking La Quinta in the two-minute drill.
What two-minute drill?
LQ's instant hold. Just use your smartphone and punch in your phone number. You'll hold a room tonight in under 2 minutes. Well, really more like a few seconds.
So really it's more like a few seconds drill.
There's no few seconds drill in football.
La Quinta Inns and Suites takes care of you so you can take our business.
Instant hold your next day on your smartphone at LQ.com.
IBM System X x86 servers and the midsize company.
One company makes these, and another these. Different companies with one thing in common. IBM System X x86 servers. They're flexible, affordable, and high-performing, with the System X 3650 M4 delivering up to 84% improved performance over its previous generation system. So even if these companies are different, IBM can help both.
For more on IBM System X servers with Intel Xeon processors, go to ibm.com/systems/choice.
Hey, this is Mike from HK Sports Bar and Grill, Hastings' hometown Husker headquarters. Whenever the Huskers play, you get our 24-ounce big cans of beer for just $2.50 all day, every game day. And with NFL Sunday Ticket and ESPN Game Day, you have a front-row seat for every NFL and college game. So bring the family and join your fellow Husker fans and watch the Huskers on the biggest HD TV wall in town, HK Sports Bar and Grill. Remember, text HKVIP to 90210 for even better offers and bigger discounts.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company. Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see considerable cloud cover across the area through the day today with a high temperature in the lower 40s. Winds will also stay to the northwest from 5 to 15. Tonight we'll drop back to 22 for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 32.
I think this is going to just be a real busy weekend, but I think it's going to be a great one. There's a lot going on out there, and we're glad you're starting off with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan on our Friday program. John in Kearney says, Todd Marinovich, Tyrann Mathieu, the list goes on and on. No parental positive role model. Waste of life. And again, here's another thing. I'm pretty sure almost everyone that's ever been on this show, hosting, co-hosting, or listens to the show, has not been an athlete the level of some of these guys that we're talking about getting in trouble. I have no idea what Tyrann Mathieu is going through. And I'll probably take it to that next level, Jimmy. if the worst thing he ever does is smoke a little marijuana, even though it's wrong, there are some people that are doing a lot worse things that are getting kicked off teams and having getting trouble in college and in their young adult lives. And that doesn't make it right. But we can all point fingers at each other. And that's what we do in the media. There's so much out there, you can point fingers at everybody. It doesn't make it right. But you got to quit messing up time after time after time. And that's where I see this young man having some problems.
Well, you know, you look at the professional athletes, you know, like they have a huge salary. And, you know, they were talking about, hey, do you want to live like a king for 1 year? Or do you want to live like a prince for the rest of your life? A lot of those guys don't handle their money very well, you know. And that's not true just with athletes. That's true with a lot of people.
You don't even have to have a lot of money not to handle it well.
Well, yeah. But, you know, this is a situation here where, you know, he's in the eye. You know, he made a mistake. He didn't get to play on this LSU football team. And they would be a lot better without him. They need some offensive punch, you know, so.
Mark Snyder of the Detroit Free Press joins us this morning here on the Doug and Daddy Show on his way to Lincoln for tomorrow night's game with the Wolverines and the Huskers. And, Mark, once again, thanks for the time on the Doug and Daddy Show. A lot to talk about, not only this game. You got the Tigers in the World Series. You got the Lions trying to find their way out there. What is the lead story this weekend? I assume the Tigers got to find a way to get back in the win column.
Oh, yeah, the World Series is a great baseball town, and people are panicking. You know, I mean, after game one, when Verlander gets hit like that, you know, people get scared. Game two, when you lose and you can't, you have two hits, you know, the panic starts to set in. I mean, they're coming home, but, you know, you really got to win probably the first two at home to even think you're back in it.
You think it's cool by the bay? Wait till they get to Detroit. It looks like it's raining there today. What's the forecast for the weekend?
I think it's football weather. You know, this is late October. This is what we do, right? It's going to be like that in Lincoln. It's going to be like that in Detroit. Maybe that's the Detroit advantage, the hardy Detroiters.
Before we move on to the Wolverines, what makes Detroit fans think that they can get this thing turned around when they come home?
Well, I think that they've been resilient all year. People wrote them off, even though with their high payroll and everything. People wrote them off a number of times. And, you know, they're with 16 games to play. They're three behind the White Sox, and they came back and handled that. You know, they were up 2-0 in the first round here against Oakland. Oakland forced the game five, and then they won that. So they have this resiliency. This team can do it, but they got to hit better than they did all season. And even in those first two rounds of the playoffs, they didn't hit. So those bats have got to come from somewhere, and they haven't seen them in a while. So, you know, if they don't get their hitting, it's not going to make a difference.
Well, Game 3 scheduled for tomorrow night, Game 4, of course, on Sunday, and Game 5, if necessary, on Monday. Let's talk a little college football with Mark Snyder of the Detroit Free Press. We've had a chance to have you on the show and talk about this great offense, but all of a sudden, defense is what we're talking about at Michigan. When's the last time we talked about Wolverine defense?
Last year, yeah. First couple games this year, you know, it was looking kind of grim. But I think that's the nature. You know, none of us want to have patience. And I think when you look at how this season began, you're playing Alabama, which is one of the most complete offenses in the country. Though it may not be the most prolific, I mean, they're complete. They can run the ball. They can throw the ball. They have a veteran quarterback. And, you know, Michigan just wasn't prepared. Michigan had a lot of stuff that they needed to work out in terms of their own issues early in the season defense, and they just happened to play Alabama in the opener. Then they played Air Force, which was a little unconventional in that second game. But then since then, they've been rolling. I mean, 13 points or less in all of the games since. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Is it the defense? Let's take the big picture, or the lack of offense from the first three Big Ten teams that they've played?
I mean, from the opponents?
Yes.
I think it's their defense. I think their defense is playing pretty well. I mean, they haven't played a Nebraska type of offense, surely. So, but Purdue had a pretty good offense coming into that game, and they totally shut them down. So I think that there's potential for some of those teams. Michigan State hasn't been a great offense, but they've moved the ball, and they weren't able to do that as well on Michigan. It's just the case that Michigan's defense has improved. I think they're more fundamentally sound. They understand now the level and the intensity that they need to play at. And the defensive line, which was completely overhauled, is now playing at a more efficient level, which frees up the linebackers and allows them to make some plays.
We're talking with Mark Snyder of the Detroit Free Press here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. As he gets ready to board his plane to head to Lincoln and get ready for tomorrow night's game with the Huskers, I thought Fitz Toussaint was going to be a big part of this football team. Then, obviously, right at Big Ten Media Days, that was when he got in a little bit of trouble. How has he done since coming back, and is he starting to get in the rotation a little bit more?
Well, they're feeding him the ball. I mean, last week he got all but one tailback carry against Michigan State, and he had one big run, a 38-yarder, and other than that, he was a mess. He really had a rough year. And whatever the reason is, I mean, whether it's missed read plays by Denard Robinson, whether it's the offensive line, him not taking advantage and cutting the ball up, whatever it is, he's not doing it. And that's a big problem. I mean, they put in some other backs, you know, Thomas Rawls is backup, and he's had some bursts, but they still stay with Toussaint. Whether that's because he's a blocker, whether it's because he's got experience, he hasn't put the ball on the ground, those could be reasons. But he's not producing really on the ground. And for Michigan to win, that's what's going to happen. I mean, you remember last year against Nebraska, you know, the Denard Robinson didn't have to do as much because they were feeding Toussaint all day.
Yeah, just 84 yards for Denard Robinson last year, but as you said, they really didn't need him to run the ball as much as he had in some other games. As far as last week, what was the biggest concern coming out of that? Obviously, Brandon Gibbons does a good job getting the field goals to get the win. What concerned Brady Hoke the most?
Red zone. You got to get in the end zone. I mean, they had a couple shots. They, you know, they played a very conservative game plan, but they got to get the ball in the end zone. You got to do something with that ball. You know, I mean, if you can't score, especially against, I mean, that's going to be true against Nebraska. Nebraska's going to put the points up no matter how good your defense is. So you're going to have to be able to keep pace with them. And that's really what's going to be the challenge tomorrow. And that's what they learned last week. They got to be efficient when they're in the red zone.
We're talking with Mark Snyder of the Detroit Free Press ahead of tomorrow's Nebraska and Michigan game. What about Denard Robinson being used on special teams? A lot of Nebraska media wants to make that out to be a big deal. Is it a big deal with the Wolverine folks?
I think some of the Michigan media wanted to make it a big deal too, but I'm not buying it that much. He was on the field in a rivalry game for one play. In my mind, that at that point, it's some point of a decoy, some point of a, you know, one more thing you got to be scared of the rest of the way. Maybe you got to kick it to our dangerous kick returner, Dennis Norfleet, because you see Denard's over there and you don't know what to make of that. I mean, they may put him out there again, but they're not going to put him in harm's way if they can help it. I think that they understand he's way too valuable to them to have someone come down and light him up. It's just not worth it.
Funny thing is, when Denard Robinson does step back and throw the ball, they're getting big plays from these wide receivers, and it seems like it's a pretty balanced wide receiving core.
Yeah, I think so. They really, I mean, Devin Gardner's been a surprise. Devin Funches, the tight end, has been a big target. And that's failed Robinson out. But he spreads the ball around. You can see no one really is dominant with catches or yardage or even in the end zone. I mean, I think that's been Michigan's greatest advantage is that the defense never knows where Robinson's going to go with the ball, maybe because he doesn't know either.
Mark Snyder, you know, has he cut down on the acrobatics, or do folks just kind of take that for granted now in his senior year?
Well, I think that when you look at the Notre Dame game was one everyone saw the four interceptions and that miserable first half. But other than that, he's been better with the interceptions. I think they tried to go to a more conservative game plan, not put him into those downfield throws quite as much. And he's been more accurate. He's responded. He understands the importance of valuing the ball. But when he's been in these hostile environments, you know, like he'll be in tomorrow night, those are the issues. I mean, when he's had turnover problems when he was at Michigan State last year and in Iowa and then this year at Notre Dame. So, you know, he's got to play composed, even if that means, you know, not trying to do too much. And playing a little more conservative, it's worth it to hold on to possession.
Mark Snyder, the Detroit Free Press, with us for just another couple moments here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Career or program win number 900 last week. Is that a big deal?
Well, I think it's a big deal just in, you know, Michigan went through those couple down years, as you guys remember, Nebraska. And during those years, people start to question everything. So Michigan fans, like Nebraska fans, they want to hang on to their tradition. They want to say, you know, beat their chest a little bit. They're not winning national championships. They haven't won a Big Ten championship in a while. So this is something to hang their hat on. But you know what? That's over with now. And they can say, well, we got there first. We got there before everyone. But I think it was a temporary blip and maybe a one-night story.
Mark, it appears that Rex Burkhead, who was a preseason All-Big Ten running back for Nebraska, just isn't going to be able to go tomorrow. How much has Coach Hoke addressed that and if that changes anything that they want to do?
Well, he's got a lot of respect for Abdullah. So I think he understands that, you know, it's not like the running game goes away. I mean, they have a different type of back, maybe, but they still have a back who can go in there. Burkhead is physical, and he can do some things, you know, that maybe they won't have otherwise, but he's a threat. And, you know, they have a threat of a running game. The running game's number six in the country, and it's going to maybe take a little hit, but he hasn't played Mexico State for weeks anyway, and they're still running the ball.
Mark, a win for Michigan all but wraps up the Legends Division title for the Wolverines. How do you see the game playing out tomorrow night?
I think it'll be interesting because I think Ohio State gave a little bit of a game plan for teams that can run the ball against Nebraska. They showed that, you know, if you push Nebraska, you can run the ball, and that's what Michigan likes to do. Whether they're capable of doing it in a physical style, that's on their offensive line. But then, and then you look and see that maybe they haven't, maybe Nebraska hasn't faced a defense like Michigan's that's so physical to get after you. And you, you know, even though Taylor Martinez made these strides this year, you look back to last year and what a mess, you know, he was facing Michigan's pressure in Ann Arbor last year. And you got to say, you know, some of that's still there. I'm sure that's on his mind. So I think that Michigan's got a shot. I think that Nebraska's got this potent offense, but, you know, Michigan hits them in some areas, both on offense and defense, that they're vulnerable. So I'll take Michigan by a couple.
Mark Snyder, Detroit Free Press, can't let you out of here without a comment on the Lions. Can they get things turned around with our Nebraska boys out there?
Well, you know, I think your Nebraska boy, he's doing a little bit better, and that's a key thing. I mean, I don't know about off the field, but on the field, you know, Sue has really played well the last couple weeks, and the defense is improving. But they got some issues on offense. You know, whether it's Stafford, I mean, he's, last year I saw a stat that, you know, to this point, last year he'd thrown 15 touchdown passes. Now he's thrown, you know, a couple. And, I mean, he hasn't, Kelvin Johnson doesn't have a touchdown catch for him this whole year. You know, this is an aerial passing attack. Their running game has improved a little bit, but you got to get that ball in the air. This is what they do. They threw 5,000 yards last year. You know, I mean, you've got to get in the end zone. You got to make it in the red zone. You can't turn the ball over. Look at the Bears. It was like a mirror image. The Bears on Monday night against the Lions, mirror image of Michigan-Notre Dame. Okay, even despite all the turnovers, they had a shot late in the game. And you got to capitalize. I mean, if you get those opportunities, you got to finish the job because, you know, your defense is keeping you in the game, and you got to reward them by scoring on offense.
And, Mark, last question. Obviously, Kyle VandenBosch, an NFL veteran, is he still playing at a high level for the Lions, or is he about ready to hang him up?
Yeah, it's not quite. He's not at the level quite that he used to be. I don't cover the Lions on a regular basis, but I know that he doesn't practice every day. You know, Jim Schwartz, the Lions coach, spots him just because to save him for game days and stuff. I think that, you know, he was an impact player, especially still when he got here a couple years ago. But I think at this point, you know, it's spot duty. And he's able to help in areas, but not the dominant force, obviously, that he once was. But he's had a great career. And he's helped bring this Lions team back. Now, if he goes out on a season where they go, you know, 4-12, I think that's going to be pretty frustrating to him, though.
Well, Mark, we always appreciate you giving us a few minutes here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Have a safe flight, and we'll see you at Memorial Stadium tomorrow.
I look forward to it. Never been there, and I've heard some great things about the atmosphere.
It is second to none in Nebraska. We can tell you that.
There you go.
Hey, Mark, thanks so much. Take care.
No problem. See you tomorrow.
All right, sounds good, Mark. Mark Snyder from the Detroit Free Press joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Lang. And Jimmy, did you know that tomorrow's game is only the second time in college football history that a pair of quarterbacks with 5,000 career passing yards and 2,000 career rushing yards will be playing?
Did not know that.
Taylor Martinez, Denard Robinson, two of just 18 players in NCAA history to reach those totals. And I'll tell you what, I could give you the whole hour, and you'd never come up with the other instance of where this happened.
Right.
That's not going to be our trivia question today. It's too tough.
Tell me what it is. I want to know.
The only previous such meeting came in 2005. 5,000 career passing yards, 2,000 career rushing yards. Vince Young of Texas, Brad Smith of Missouri.
Isn't that something?
Never. No one's ever going to come up with Brad Smith of Missouri.
You know, I was going to guess it was somebody like from Tulsa playing somebody from, you know, I mean, I never dreamed it was going to be like.
BYU.
Yeah, there you go.
That was just one of those interesting tidbits there that I thought was kind of fun. And the first trip to Lincoln for Michigan since 1911. I think that's just some scaredy cat there.
Yeah, that's been a while.
That's flat out scaredy cat.
You know, they were good in 1902.
How were your seats then?
You know, I'll tell you what. When I went to that Rose Bowl in 1902, you know, it was 49-0, that 49-0 game.
Well, folks, glad to have you along with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And if you're heading to any of the games this weekend or just to Kearney High tonight, Troutman's has got you ready for the tailgate. And if you take it off for the Husker game tomorrow, you can even pick it up in the morning because they're there for you. Troutman's Quality Meats open 6 days a week. Get your tailgating needs at Troutman's. How about grabbing some flat iron steaks? They're versatile, so you can enjoy them as a steak, or you can have Carrie cut it up for your Philly cheese steaks, the fajitas, maybe just some cubes. What's better than just sitting there eating steak tips? Oh, it's so good. Grab some ribs, folks. Marinated kebabs, Troutman's famous baked beans. Top it all off. Plus, they've got the condiments and the beverages, beer, wines, some unique choices as well at Troutman's Quality Meats. It's a grill's best friend, where USDA Choice Certified Angus beef and their quality steaks, aged minimum of 30 days for peak flavor and tenderness, make them the best. Don't mess up. Don't mess up your meal. Don't mess up your tailgating. And don't have your friends and family look at you going, huh? Have them patting you on the back saying you're the best. Troutman's Quality Meats. Get ready for the weekend on Highway 30 here in Kearney. Well, $160 on the line, Jimmy. You've looked at the sheet. How many tough games are on there this week for college football pigskin pick'em?
They're all tough, but there's four that I have no idea what I'm going to do here with. And I'm going to kind of wait for you and the caller and kind of see and try to make it so it's kind of competitive for us, and then we'll go down to each game.
What's the toughest one on there to choose?
Well, I'll give you the four that are tough. Should we let it's Maryland and Boston College.
I got to quit putting Maryland on there. You know why?
Tell me, why do you do that?
I don't know, because every week they've got one of the close spreads, and I try to put some tight games on there, and every week I miss it. I miss Maryland every week.
Yeah, Boston College can't cover, you know, all year long. You got Baylor at Iowa State. I think that's a tough one. You got Indiana and Illinois. Indiana at Illinois. And then you've got the Ohio State-Penn State game, which is kind of an interesting game.
Well, let's get somebody registered here. If you have already went up against us in Pigskin Pick'em, you get one shot. You're going to be entered for the 70-inch HD TV from Russell's, the Super Bowl end-of-the-year party from Cunningham's. You're going to win the Big Daddy's Deli large combo just for getting the trivia question right. And then the cherry on top. If you can become only the second person to defeat the Doug and Daddy trio, or duo, as the case may be today, Jimmy Langan and Doug Duda, if you become one of the second person to do it, $160 in gift cards to use however you want at Cunningham's Journal. So there you go. Here's the trivia question. Nebraska has played the first night game, by the way, 1986. I was there. It was pretty cool.
Who'd they play that time?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I think, was it Florida? No. Oh, it was a Florida State.
Sorry I put you on the spot here. This is about the first time I've ever asked you a question.
I was there, and I don't even remember. That's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. I'll check that out during the that would have been a good question. That would have been a good question. That would have been a better one. I've been shuffling through all my notes here to try and find out some answers to trivia questions out there. But I came up with what I thought was a simple one. Not at least you don't have to know anything to maybe guess this one right. That's what I tried. I've got this for you, Jimmy. 1986.
There you go.
First night game. It was Florida State. I was right. It was Florida State.
We're going to give it to you.
There you go. Count I went right. 160. Oh, no. I'm going to Big Dally's anyway. It doesn't matter. Nebraska's played 41 night games. They've won 28 of those by at least 13 points, so I just gave you a clue. Of those 41 home night games for the Huskers since 1986, how many have they lost? How many losses in those 41 night games? And I already told you they won 28 of them by at least 13, so I'll let you do the math.
And that's at home, right?
That's
at home.
Right. Home night games since 1986. How many have Nebraska lost? You get it right, you're going up against us in Pigskin Pick'em back after this.
The kind of work you do is plain hard work. Take a seat at a Red Wing shoe store. Relax. Put your feet up, or more precisely, down, and let us do the work. We still use tools to precisely measure feet. It means a better fit, a customized fit, so you can do your job better. Red Wing boots are purpose-built for the exact work you do. Enjoy your break. You'll be back at work soon enough. Red Wing shoes. Work is our work.
Only the Home Depot has solar LED motion-activated security lights by Defiant for just $79.97. The days are getting darker sooner. So brighten things up anywhere with an automatic outdoor floodlight that will give your home a sense of security and your guests a sense of where they're going. Show them the light with a Defiant Solar LED motion-activated security light at just $79.97. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store.
The breeze whips into a storm Friday.
The storm will try to spoil the Omaha Lancers party in their new building, the Ralston Arena. This is Jared Schaffran, the voice of the Tri-City Storm. Tri-City will then hit the road and head to Sioux Falls for a Saturday night matchup with the Stampede.
Tri-City Storm hockey begins with pregame at 7:10 Friday on The Breeze, 94.5 FM. And due to the Husker game Saturday, pregame will get underway at 6:45 on Classic Hits, 98.9.
Sunday on Compass Media Network's coverage of the NFL, the Atlanta Falcons head to the City of Brotherly Love for an NFC showdown with the Philadelphia Eagles. Hi, this is Chris Carino. Join Brian Baldinger and me for all the action. Can Matt Ryan and the Falcons remain undefeated, or will Michael Vick and the Eagles spoil their perfect season? It's the Falcons and the Eagles. If it's the NFL, it's right here.
Falcons, Eagles, Cowboys, Giants, Broncos, Saints. Your NFL tripleheader Sunday on ESPN Radio. Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, takes us all the way to Ansley today for our Pigskin Pick'em winner. Jared has joined in to win the t-shirt. He also wins the Big Daly's Deli large combo meal. He knew that the answer was five. Nebraska has only lost five night games, and I'm not going to tell you who all that and break it down, but five night games since the lights went up in 1986. Jared, congratulations. Are you ready to pick some games against us?
Yeah, I suppose.
All right, let's get it underway. The first game is actually tonight. Cincinnati at Louisville. Who do you like, Jared?
Oh, I'm going to go with Louisville.
Jimmy?
I'm taking Louisville.
You know, this is stupid. My gut says Cincinnati, and I'm taking Cincinnati. The Reds aren't in, so why not have some football for the Bearcats? Let's see what happens. Nevada at Air Force. Jimmy, who you like?
I'm taking Nevada.
Oh, I'm going to take Air Force. How about you, Jared?
I'm going to go with Nevada also.
Maryland at Boston College. I'm going to go first here because I'm just tired of Maryland. I'm taking Boston College. Jim, who you like?
I'm going to go with Maryland.
And Jared, who do you like?
Boston College.
Baylor at Iowa State. Jared, who you got?
I got to go with the Cyclones. I'm taking Iowa State.
Jimmy, who you got?
I guess I'll go Iowa State.
That's, you know, Baylor is so good. Iowa State at home is so good. I got to go Iowa State. I don't know why. UCLA at Arizona State. Jimmy, who you like?
Arizona State.
They must just be better, huh? UCLA, was that a fluke? What happened to them? What happened to them? We're just not that good? Is that the deal? I don't understand. Jared, who do you like in that one?
I got to go with Arizona State.
I once again have a feeling I'm going to go 2-9. I'm taking... They just got beat by Oregon State. Their Dobbers down. It was a Thursday night game. Got beat by Oregon. Arizona State got beat by Oregon. Okay, Arizona State. Oregon State at Washington. I have no idea. I have no idea, Jim. You got any idea on this one?
No, but I'm going to pick Oregon State.
Okay, I'll take Washington at home. Jared?
I got to go with Oregon State.
How about this? How about this sneezer? Indiana at Illinois. Illinois is going the wrong way. Indiana is showing life. Who do you got in this one, Jared?
I got to go with Illinois.
Jimmy, is this just a home field advantage, or is Indiana see that they've got a chance to win a football game here?
You know, this caller's tough. I'm going to stay with him. I'm going to Illinois right with him.
Good Lord. Indiana, Iowa at Northwestern. I'll go first here. Northwestern. I'm a believer. Jimmy?
I'm taking Northwestern.
Jared?
I got to go with Northwestern, too.
Texas Tech at Kansas State. I'll tell you what, I'll go first again. Everybody's upset special. Kansas State. Jared, who you got?
I got to go K-State.
Jimmy?
I'm taking K-State.
Wow. Okay, Ohio State at Penn State. Jim, who you got?
I'll take Penn State.
Jared?
I got to go with the Buckeyes.
Well, this is a chance for Jared to catch one on us, because I think I pick Penn State every week, and I'm going to continue to pick Penn State.
You have picked Penn State every week. You have. That's one thing you have.
I believed in them at Big Ten Media Days. I believed in them after they lost to Ohio. They missed a field goal, or they'd have just one loss. Truly got it going on at Penn State. Florida at Georgia, the old cocktail party. I'm going to take Florida. Jimmy?
I'm taking Florida.
And Jared?
I got to go Florida.
And the final game, Notre Dame and Oklahoma, Boomer Sooner and the Irish. Who do you like, Jared?
I got to pick Oklahoma. I got to. I hate you, but I got to.
For $160, buddy, I take Oklahoma, yeah, too. I am taking Oklahoma.
Man, oh, man, I have not circled this one, and I'm dead serious that I haven't circled this one. I kind of been picking against Notre Dame, I think. It's time for them to go down the national spotlight. But could this actually be Notre Dame's year? And in fact, let me put this one to you. If Bobby Stoops loses this game, doesn't he have to start feeling a little heat from somewhere? This is probably the pick that gives away the 160 or keeps it here. I'm going to do it. Irish can. I'm taking Notre Dame with the upset right now. Why not? Let's see if we need a tiebreaker. Total points, Nebraska-Michigan. Jared, we've got our number down. What's the total points for Nebraska-Michigan?
Oh, I'm going to go 35-28.
He's way over both of us, 35-28, and by my quick math, that's 63. You're in the middle, Jimmy. I'm the low man. What do you got?
I got 58.
I have taken 27-23. Michigan beat Nebraska in the 85, which is the 86 calendar year Fiesta Bowl, where we got hosed on a call in that game, too. But that was the final score, so I'm taking Nebraska, 27-23. Jared, best of luck, and congratulations on your winnings already. Have a great weekend.
All right, thank you. You guys have a good one, too.
Hey, Jared, I think it's going to come down to the tiebreaker score, so we'll be watching you. And hey, good luck to you. I hope you get the money.
All right, thanks so much.
Well, Jimmy, the only piece of business that's left is Nebraska going to win the game, or why is the game going to end the way it does tomorrow?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, Nebraska is a 2.5-point favorite. A lot of people in this state were kind of, I think, when they looked at that, were surprised. I wasn't really, because of the night game success Nebraska's had. And also, you know, Michigan's had a couple, they win 12-10 against Michigan State. They had a little trouble. I think it was Air Force Academy. This line's about right. Nebraska's a home team, and when Nebraska plays at home, they usually play fairly well.
So you got them?
I like them.
You got 58 points. Is it going to be a one-point game, or are we going to actually have a little breathing room?
Well, the way we've been playing, I'm not going to say we're going to win by three touchdowns, if you know what I mean. So, you know, anytime we can just get the win, let's be satisfied. You know, Nebraska gets a big win last week, beats Northwestern by a point. I think that was very, very big win for everybody involved. If you're a big Husker fan, instead of talking about the negative parts of it, hey, let's just take the win and move on.
Well, I think it's going to be a great atmosphere, even if the weather's a little off. I think it's going to be a great atmosphere. I don't think I pulled up the right one there, Jeffrey. Sorry, man. That's in there somewhere. Michigan's got a great fight song. Oklahoma's got a great fight song. Nebraska's got a great fight song. Notre Dame's got a pretty good fight song. That's what it comes down to tomorrow.
Whoever's got the best fight song?
Yeah, Michigan probably has a better one.
I wonder if the coaches, when they're going over film, they got the fight songs on in the background, or do you think they're just studying film?
I think they're like the president. They're tired of the song. They're tired of Hail to the Chief. They're tired of – but it does – I think it does pump them up. It probably just depends how long you've been around there. That'd be a good one for Tom Osborne. Did you ever get sick of the fight song?
Yeah, I'm sure Tom, when he studied film, along with all of his assistant coaches, probably spent a lot of time with his personality. You know, Tom Osborne and John Wooden, when they coached, they kind of did it a different way. A lot of these coaches are a little more feisty, and we've got one right now that's pretty feisty. And I hope things go well for Bo Pelini. They've got a lot of people on him, but, this would be a great win for him to move on. A lot of pressure being a head coach.
Well, coming up, folks, we've got great football action this weekend. A couple of things before we get out of here. what would be better format for the high school football playoffs? Are you in favor of the 9-game regular season with a 16-team playoff or the current format of the 8-game regular season and the 32-team playoff format? I am in the favor of the 32-team. A lot of the folks I talk to, 16-team. Vote on our poll question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Jimmy, you've been around it. You've coached it. You've reffed it. You've administrated it. Your thoughts.
Hey, I'll tell you what. Last night, I refereed a game between Minden and Adams Central, and Minden was 2-6. Adams Central's 8-0. The coaches coached hard. The players hit hard. It was a good atmosphere. It was awful cold. Let's be honest about that. But it was a good atmosphere, and there were some things done well. And I thought, you know, it was a good little playoff atmosphere. And I know when 2-6 plays 8-0, sometimes those things can get out of hand. But, hey, everybody had to work hard for everything they got last night.
Did you have a 2-6 field this year, folks? Do you want to make it an 8-0 field? There's one way to do that. T&L Irrigation Systems put that in your field for 2013. It's proven technology that works, and if unexpected maintenance and repairs on your electric pivot system get you down, and if you're wondering if there's another choice, well, all you got to do is talk to the Oshners from Roseland. They say their choice was simple, and they own 8 hydrostatically powered T&L pivot irrigation systems and say we have a lot of confidence in our T&Ls and have had through the year. Just like the Oshners did, you can discover the T&L difference at your local T&L dealer or visit T&L's website at TLIRR.com. As much as we dislike this football team, I still love Oklahoma's fight song. It only is annoying when they play it every 5 seconds. USC, really annoying. We have the high school football playoff times in C1. It will be at 3 o'clock. Chase County hosting Boone Central and Gothenburg at Shadron. 7 o'clock in the West, Broken Bow at Kearney Catholic on ESPN Radio, and Adams Central hosting Grand Island Central Catholic. In Class C2, 5 o'clock, Donovan Trumbull at Crofton and Blue Hill at Hershey. 6 o'clock, Hastings St. Cecilia will be at Sutton. In Class D1, 2:30 in the afternoon, Loup City, who won their first ever playoff game last night, Jimmy, which I found hard to believe because I know they've had some great athletes, but they just haven't had the good draw. That was their first ever home playoff game and their first ever win, beating Overton last night, who is no slouch. And they get to go all the way out to Hemingford, 2:30 on Wednesday.
And they got a shot out there. Let's see what happens.
That's good stuff. And also, 6 o'clock, Arapahoe at Maxwell. 6:30, Elm Creek will be at Burwell. And in D2, 5 o'clock will be the start time for Humphrey St. Francis at Lawrence and Giltner at Anselmo Myrna. 6 o'clock for Bertrand at Kennesaw and Spalding Academy taking on Shelton. Tonight, Kearney High takes on Omaha Central. You can hear that on Classic Hits 98.9. Pregame at 6:30, kickoff at 7. Also tonight, Northwest plays Aurora, Silver Lake, Arcadia in six-man. That game is at 6 o'clock. And the second round of the C&D playoffs coming your way next Wednesday. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing this weekend, enjoy your time. Coming up on Monday, a recap of Nebraska-Michigan, plus Bo Pelini's weekly press conference, among the many things that we'll be chatting about. I want to thank Mark Snyder of the Detroit Free Press and Doug Glanville, ESPN analyst, for joining us today, as well as Jimmy Lang.
Hey, Doug, you know, I think you hate that fight song, Oklahoma fight song, so much because guys like Tinker Owens beat us. You know, when Tinker Owens goes into the end zone, I mean, there's just something about that. And always late in the fourth quarter.
No. When their tight ends push off and catch one-handed big-time catches that allow them to win. Keith Jackson, not the announcer, but the football player.
Keith Jackson.
Oh, it just makes you want to rip your hair out. Jimmy, have a great weekend.
You too.
Monday will be another great show. Thanks, folks, for joining us. Have a good one. This is the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.